Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 245, Mountain Moving Faith, Part 4, Overcoming Offense. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, February 27th, 2022, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, we have been studying faith, and this is Mountain Moving Faith, Part 4. I'm going to keep the subtitle hidden just for another moment here. So we are endeavoring to grow in our faith, right? And we know that we do that by hearing the word of God. So we're going to hear the word of God today because it's how faith comes. So raise your hand if you want to advance in faith. Okay. I think I see just about everyone's hand up. That's good. We're in unity. We're on the same page. So I'm going to share with you at least one surefire way to keep advancing your faith without having a hindrance. It is to keep offenses out. So this is Mountain Moving Faith, Part 4, Overcoming Offense, right? So the truth is Galatians 5:6 says that faith works by love. And if we're harboring an offense in our hearts, or have bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness in our hearts, then we're stopping the flow of love. And God is love. So put that together, then you're keeping God out, right? And we're blocking faith from flowing in our lives. And that's a big deal. And that's a big deal to the heart of God because it has such an effect on us. So if we want to keep advancing in our faith, we need to do our possible and do our everything and ask God for his assistance to keep offenses out of our hearts, out of our lives. So you guys know I really love to preach on faith, like straight up faith. It's really fun for me. I love it. But this message on overcoming offense is just as important. It's so important to the body of Christ and to each one of us. We can't afford to have strife and contention among us, to have disunity among us, because it's a showstopper. And actually, there is a big connection between our faith and or a lack of faith and offense. So it's not that it's just, yeah, it's more fun to preach on faith, but preaching about this is like, it's indirectly, we are talking about faith because we want to keep faith flowing, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so James 3:16 says, This verse is so key. For where envy and strife are, wherever you have envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. That's important to know. That is important to know because whatever part I have, I'm opening a door. Right? And so the Bible says, do everything, basically, this is my paraphrase, do everything in your power to stay in peace with others. Right? So I need to do my part to keep envy and strife out because I don't want confusion in my life. I don't want every evil work in my life. I want to keep the door shut to the defeated one, to the devil. So when I am entertaining strife, and fall into a trap that's set before me, maybe in a relationship that I have with somebody, and we just get into it, and I have to have the last word, there's going to be effect on me. I'm opening some doors there. And I don't want to let Satan in. And I don't want confusion. And I don't want to stop the flow of love in my life. And I don't want to stop the flow of faith in my life. So help me, Jesus, to exercise that lovely fruit in our fruit basket called self-control. It's important. Okay, so we have stuff to do. That's a little theme maybe you've heard us say. We have stuff to do. This is quoting Pastor Harley. We have stuff to do in 22, right? And we need our faith working and working well in order to do and accomplish those things in 22. We need our hearts open, and we need to be in unity with one another. If we're not in unity, we're not going anywhere, right? So let's link arms in unity, take care of offense, keep taking care of offense, not let it even start, and then we can walk in victory this year in our personal lives and together as a church body, free from strife and offense. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds good. That's God's plan. So let's dive into the word about this, about offense. Luke 17, verse 1. I'm going to read this in a couple different translations. This is Jesus's words, okay? I'm not making this up. Jesus said this to his disciples. So the King James says, then said he, it's Jesus, talking unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. The NASB says, he said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. So King James calls it offenses will come. And here in this version, it says stumbling blocks will come. But woe to him through whom they come. And then verse 2, I go further, it says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. And then verse 3 says, so watch yourselves. We must watch ourselves. And it goes on, and I'll address the rest of verse 3 later on. And Amplified, I love it, Amplified says, and Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, the Amplified Bible calls it temptations, right? King James said offenses, the NASB said stumbling blocks, and this version, Amplified, says temptations. So these are like synonyms for offense, right? It can be a stumbling block, it can be a temptation, and then the Amplified goes on to say, snares, traps set to entice to sin are sure to come, but woe to him by or through whom they come. So an offense is a snare. It's a trap set, like you set a mouse trap to catch a mouse. This is a trap set by who? Satan, right? The defeated one. We want to keep him defeated in our lives, right? But that's up to us to occupy until Jesus comes, to take care of him and not give him any foothold in our lives, right? Because it's just so, wow, this struck me as Jesus is saying to his disciples, offense is a part of this fallen world. It's bound to happen. Offenses will come. It's impossible to escape offense or to have it pop up, but we can get around it. We can handle it in a godly way. There's no one exempt from this. And this is so serious, you know, for the Lord, that because it says it would be better for him to have a millstone. I don't know how big is a millstone. I didn't look that up. I don't know really what a millstone is, but any kind of stone hung around your neck and thrown into the sea, it's big, they say. Okay, they're going like this back here. Okay, so it's big, right? So it's what's going to happen? You're going to sink, right? It's going to sink you. So God's saying it would be better if you're going to take offense, it's going to be better for you to just be drowned in the sea than to take offense, have a stumbling block, create a problem in your life. And then, because you know what happens? You take others down with you. You take other, maybe Christians that are newer, baby Christians, people that don't know, you know, there's casualties. When we take offense and then we go and say, oh, did you see what Sally did to me? And this other person is then filled with my offense and filled with my junk. And that affects them then. And then maybe they go on, and then we're all committing complaining and gossip and slander, you know? And we're allowing those offenses to fester. And it's not a good thing. So I'm going to tell you a quick story real quick. This is maybe the... I've got two stories, personal stories to share with you. This one is maybe the not so, you know, perfect Pastor Sarah. I wasn't a pastor when this happened, so maybe it's all right. But, you know, we learn from our mistakes. It's not all right because nobody, you know, we represent Jesus, whether we have a title of pastor or not. Okay. That's the truth. And, he calls all of us to walk in purity and uprightness. And he wants all of us to navigate when these offenses, inevitable as they are, when they come up, we can navigate them with the Holy Spirit and be free and walk free and not have it bring us down or cause casualties in the body or people around us. So I was shopping in a grocery store. I think this was last year sometime. And I pulled my cart up to the, I think it was oranges, the big orange bin. And it was large and it was up on a little pallet. And there was an older lady that she was like up on, she had her feet up on the pallet and she was reaching in and there weren't a lot of bags of oranges in there. So she was bending, trying to reach real down low in there. And I was also going to get a bag of oranges. And I just looked at her and smiled and said, "Oh, would you like me to lift one of those out for you?" And she looked at me and she said, I did not expect this answer. She said, "What makes you think I can't get it out myself?" And I think I kind of stammered a little bit before I actually said anything coherent because I was so taken aback by her response, because I was just trying to be friendly. I was just trying to help you get out your bag of oranges. I wasn't saying anything that you're weak or anything. But so she said, I was just trying to help you, you know, just thought maybe you could use some help. And she said, "Well, I try to be as independent as I can and I'm out here and blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Well, isn't that great?" I said, "That's wonderful for you." And I went along and I'm trying to be focused on my grocery list, but I was, I was trying to help her and blah, 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 blah. I was grumbling. I was blah, 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 blah. I was like that generator that one time camping, if you heard me tell that story. That's a different story, but I was, maybe I won't help people anytime because I'll never open doors for people again, because if they're going to chew my head off like that, I was just trying to be nice and I need some bacon or, you know, whatever. But so I'm going through the store and the Holy Spirit is like, "Well, I think you should still help people. Don't worry about her. You touched a hornet's nest, or she's having a bad day. You touched on her pride a little bit." So she took offense at me, and then I took offense back at her response, and it wasn't very pretty. And I think I probably shared this story with a lot of people. And in that process, I have let it go. Praise the Lord. But we got to let these things go. So some of you could apply this, what I'm talking about, offenses to silly little things like this, or a bigger traumatic event where somebody really gravely hurt you in your life, you know, and they committed injustice against you, you know. So, but I'm talking about all of it, and especially these little things, like a little interaction like that with a grumpy lady in the grocery store. That can be such a stumbling block. You know, it can be like, have you ever walked with a pebble in your shoe, in your boot or whatever? You feel it every time. It affects how you walk. Even it can be so little. So if I kept hanging on to that thing, you know, it just grows and grows and grows. And it does affect how we walk. So it's important to deal with those, to those things. So offense is one of the ways that Satan attempts to derail us in the things of God. I don't want to be derailed. I don't think you want to either. He knows that if he can get us into strife and unforgiveness, then he has an inroad to cause more havoc in our lives. It's a wide open door. And we've got it. He doesn't really change. He's not very clever. He doesn't change his tactics. Strife is always a classic one, and it will take us out if we allow it to. Right? So if Jesus said it's impossible to escape offense, then it's going to happen. And so let's learn how to navigate this in a way that pleases the Lord and have the Holy Spirit be our helper, like the word says. So we can learn and grow from opposition or grumpy people that respond to us and don't want our help. Or we can let those things crush us, no matter how big or serious or significant the offense is. Or we can let us crush us. So it's our choice. We can have it take us out if we choose. But resistance is what makes your muscles stronger, like I talked about last week. If you handle offense in the way that God says to, and we're going to look at that, then it's an opportunity, really, to give you lift, right? So you can soar above the problems like an eagle, soar above the resentment, soar above strife, and not get into all this tangle. If you choose, offense will make you press into prayer. Help me, Jesus! I need help! Even if it's something as simple as, I had a bad attitude toward that lady that was offended by me, and I got offended too. It didn't need to happen that way. But it can make us press into prayer. We can run to the secret place of God to seek a revelation of Jesus and his forgiveness. And love others the way he loves them. I love that Pastor Karen read that portion of scripture in Philippians 2 today, talking about Jesus and how he humbled himself. That lady was lacking humility that responded to me. And I was also lacking humility, right? Because pride rises up and says, who are you? I don't need help. What makes you think I need help? And then I was offended, you know, taking pride in her response. And Jesus is the perfect model of getting rid of that pride. You know, dying on the cross, he said, I forgive them. They know not what they do. So let us run to Jesus and learn how to forgive and how to just let it run off your back, like water off a duck's back, Pastor Hartley says, right? Just let it go. I'm not a big Disney movie fan or Frozen fan, but can we all just say, let it go? Let it go. And have you heard this one? Get a ladder and get over it. Have you heard that one before? We got to laugh because, you know, this whole subject of taking offense can be really grumpy and serious. And so we're going to laugh a little bit today. So get a ladder and get over it. Okay. So let's look at another scriptural example of overcoming offense. Let's go to 2 Samuel 10. Verses 1 through, the account is a little bit longer, but I'm going to read till 8 right now. Okay, in the course of time, the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun succeeded him as king. David thought, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent a delegation to express his sympathy to Hanun concerning his father. When David's men came to the land of the Ammonites, the Ammonite commander said to Hanun their lord, do you think David is honoring your father by sending envoys to express sympathy? Hasn't David sent them to you only to explore the city and spy it out and overthrow it? So Hanun seized David's envoys, shaved off half of each man's beard, cut off their garments at the buttocks, and sent them away. When David was told about this, he sent messengers to meet the men, for they were greatly humiliated. The king said, stay at Jericho till your beards have grown and then come back. When the Ammonites realized that they had been obnoxious to David, they hired 20,000 Aramean foot soldiers from Beth-Rehob and Zobah, as well as the king of Maacah with 1,000 men and also 12,000 men from Tob. On hearing this, David sent Joab out with the entire army of fighting men. The Ammonites came out and drew up in battle formation at the entrance of their city gate, while the Arameans of Zobah and Rehob and the men of Tob and Maacah were themselves in the open country. Okay, we'll stop there for right now. Let's talk about that up to this account up to that point. So, you know, the king dies, the king of the Ammonites died, and then his son Hanun succeeds him as king. And David wanted to express his sympathy, his kindness. So he sent, it says envoys, or he sent some men, a delegation of men, to express sympathy, right? And then the commander, the Ammonite commander, Hanun, raised suspicions about the motive. Well, are you sure they're coming to give us, you know, to give us kindness? Don't you think they're really just trying to spy it out and overtake us? You know, he raised doubt there to them about, I think David has bad intentions here. So David was just taking action to express kindness, right? Like me in the grocery store, to bring this grieving man comfort about the loss of his father and the whole country. So verse 3, like we said, the Ammonites distrusted. Then they all began to distrust their motives. And so what did they do? Before anything had even happened, before they were, you know, before their suspicions could prove false or true, they just took matters into their own hands. In verse 4, they shaved off half of the men's beards and then cut their garments up to their buttocks. Now, a man's beard, as I study and understand it, was such an important symbol of distinction and honor. So to forcefully shave off half of a man's beard, it was a pure and utter humiliation. It was shameful. It was certainly offensive. And it was just downright disrespectful, right? And then not to mention cutting their clothes so they're exposed. So this act tampered with their identity, their authority, their dignity as a man, and representing their country, representing David, and it messed with their pride, right? And it happened when they were obeying. They were obeyed David. And, you know, David hadn't done anything wrong. These men hadn't done anything wrong. Let's say they were walking in the perfect will of God. And, oh, just like Jesus, you know, just like in Luke, we read that offense is inevitable. It's going to happen sometimes. Well, this is a case. They were doing the right thing. They were being good, so to speak, and up popped offense. They didn't deserve it, right? Offense just happens. So David heard that they were on their way back, verse 5, and he didn't want them to be humiliated in the city. So because when they'd come back into the square gate, you know, everyone's seeing that, oh my gosh, their beards are shaved off and their clothes are torn and they are they'd be a laughingstock, you know, an utter embarrassment to their people. So David, like a good leader, covered his people. He covered these men and told them to go to Jericho, which Jericho means, the name Jericho means the sweet fragrance or the sweet place. So King David, his response to this was leading his these men that could have taken great offense and probably were dealing with that in their hearts. He was a good leader and he covered them. And he said, don't come back yet. Stay in the sweet place. Stay in Jericho. Stay there. Don't get bitter. Allow your honor and your dignity to come back. Allow your beard to grow back. Right? He instructed them. So this is instruction for us today. When you're offended, just go to Jericho. Look to your neighbor and say, just go to Jericho. Just go to the sweet place. Stay in the sweet place. Retreat in the love of God. Stay sweet and your beard and your honor will come back. Stay calm. Maybe they make, you know, those shirts that say stay calm and be still or whatever. Stay calm and pray on or whatever. Stay calm and don't take vengeance. Don't take offense. Right? Keep the right spirit. We must refuge ourselves in the love of God when somebody has hurt us. We must focus on the truth of the love of God. Just because somebody chose to say something or do something against us or disrespectful, that's on them. We don't have to be torn, you know, we don't have to fall into sin also. We can choose to separate. Nope, nothing is going to separate me from the love of God, like scripture says, right? But we have to resolve, we have to make a decision. And I know it's tough, but we gotta, oh, Holy Spirit, help me. You know, I've had some opportunities in the last year or two, especially year, you know, to practice this. And so that muscle gets stronger as you practice. It's the good news. So, but we can't allow ourselves to grow bitter and resentful. Go to the sweet place and stay there. Okay, Romans 12. This is further instruction for us. Romans 12, 17 through 21. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is the verse I was referring to earlier. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Oh, wait, what? Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. God says the vengeance is his. There's things that are our part and things that are God's part. He says, don't touch this, my daughter. Don't touch this one, my son. I will do it. I will have vengeance, right? We have to obey this. Woo. So if we stay calm, if we're quiet and still in the sweet place, and we don't retaliate and we don't have revenge, then God will deal with our enemies, right? And we go free. That's a good deal. And we don't get tied up and have a millstone and get drowned in the sea, you know? He will carry out his righteous act of vengeance. That's what his word promises. So then it says, it goes on to say in verse 20 and 21, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. I don't hear any amens on that one. We can do this, church. This is what we are. We follow God. We follow Jesus. We need to do this too. We need to feed and clothe our enemies. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not. Yes, somebody's excited. Good job, Pastor. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I know this is challenging. I'm preaching to myself just as much to all of you. I'm sharing what the word says and what we as followers of Jesus must obey, right? If we want to really walk in his word. So we not only have to not take vengeance, but we have to go out of our way to bless our enemies. Okay, help me, Jesus. That's why we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. He gave it to us for a reason, right? Not just to, I don't know, just Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. No, but to use it, to use the power that's within us, to show it out to the world, right? To heap burning coals on our enemies' heads. Now, that means, I was like, what is that? I know I've talked about this before sometimes. It's like, yes, set their hair on fire. It's like when you, let's say, well, I'm trying to think of the grocery store lady scenario, but it didn't work out that way. So, but, you know, if she had, when I had a kind answer, if she had responded to me and under, like, kind of got conviction, it's when you have conviction that, oh, I overstepped and I said the wrong thing or I did the wrong thing. It's like burning coals on your head. It's like that hot flush you get when you know that you've done something wrong. And so that's what God's saying. You just overcome evil with good. You do the good thing. And then they, whether they, whatever happens with them, but it might, didn't happen with the grocery store orange lady, but it could, God bless her. You know, somebody could have a response to you. And my other testimony, it's more an example of that. I heaped burning coals on this woman's head. And I'll tell you about that story in a minute. Because of my kind answer. And she like had conviction that, oh, I that was wrong, you know. But it's an intentional place. We must stay in the sweet place again. Talking about Jericho. Choose to forgive and overcome evil with good, right? And say, take that, devil. I'm going to go out and bless more people. I'm going to go out and share the gospel with somebody now because you're messing with me and you're trying to get me in a fence. Oh, no, no, right? We need to be tough, tough skinned. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I'm just catching up to my notes here. So I'll tell you the story of this testimony in missionary life. You know, many of you know that I was a full-time missionary in Youth with a Mission in Argentina for 7 years. And I had many opportunities to practice overcoming offense, to get a ladder and get over it. Many times living in community, you know, sometimes we were 15 people that lived together. Sometimes when we had a school and students there, it could be as much as 30 people. We're like the clown house, you know, like the clown car would keep coming out and the neighbors are like, where are all those people living? You know, but anyways, we're the, you know, crazy missionaries from all over, you know, with blue eyes and blonde hair and you know, whatever. Anyways, the story goes like this. You know, we're in this small little kitchen and a bunch of us ladies and we were cooking or something. And don't get me started on trying to share the pots and pans. And we only had a short amount to cook and then get back to our other duties. So you had to be waiting there for, are you done with that pot? I need that pot. I need that. You know, there's only four burners, but that's another thing. But so I don't know. The conversation came up about going to being sent as a missionary to different places. And it came up about our lovely nation, the United States. Proud to say I'm American. And one of my fellow missionaries, God bless her, from Argentina, she maybe didn't have such nice opinions about us in our country. And she said something without thinking about it that, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this because Sarah's American, but she started saying negative things about, and I wish I would never be sent as a missionary to the United States because this and that and the other and all. And I like inside, it was like a dagger to my heart. Here I am. I've given up everything and I'm speaking your language and I'm serving your people and I'm here in your country. Like she touched something in me, you know, and she's saying she would never go to my country because, well, let me tell you, but the Argentines aren't perfect either. You know, and so my response, you know, she touched my flesh a little bit, right? You know, when that happens, my response was I was going to, you know, tell her that, put her in her place. And I think I must have surrendered my life and my words that morning to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had other plans. So I'm like, you know, about to open my mouth and what came out was it was like, wait, what am I saying? Like the Holy Spirit just turned me right around. And what I found myself saying, I was just kind of in shock myself and the tears welling up in my eyes. And I said, well, that's really a shame. That's really too bad. You would miss out. And my country would miss out because we need people like you. And I affirmed her and I, you know, I blessed her. And I said, we need people that are dedicated and love Jesus. We need the gospel just as much as we do in any other place. And it would be really sad if God wanted you, but you didn't want to, and you'd miss out on the blessing because my nation needs people like you to preach the gospel. And she, I mean, I was taken aback at my own response. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I heaped burning coals on her head. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit, but I can't take a whole lot of credit because, I mean, I just kind of said what was coming out, but it was really the response from the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I wish that would happen more. but she recognized that she overstepped and that she was wrong. I can't remember if it was in that moment. I think it was later. I think it was just like we got interrupted or something else happened. And later she came and she apologized. And she said, I realized that I hurt you. And I realized that that wasn't, you know, appropriate for me to say or whatever. So let's let the Holy Spirit turn us around like that. Every day, surrender your words and your life and your responses. And even if it's not totally like that, you know, we can make a choice. We can do it just as much as the Holy Spirit just really did it. But I can make, maybe the Holy Spirit was just teaching me, it's that simple. You can just make a choice and you can respond differently. You know, train yourself to respond differently the way I would respond to, you know, to somebody. So watch God defend you when you stay sweet. God's vengeance is greater than your vengeance, and he'll take care of it, right? It's not ours to take care of. He'll act and he'll have your back. You do what the word says. You do what he says. He is the God of vengeance. So like the rest of the story, going back to 2 Samuel 10, the rest of the story is that, you know, David sends, like we read, David sends Joab out with the entire fighting army. And then they ended up wiping out the enemy. And they realized, you know, there was a different a plot that they did there. And you can read the rest of the story. But the point is that I want to make, David responded by saying to his men and teaching them, don't get revenge. Go to Jericho, stay sweet. And then God had their back. And they ended up wiping out the enemy. So this is a story of teaching, of lesson for us. Because we do our part and God does his, and he's just. He's the God of justice. He'll make it right. So it is time to stop being angry about things. It's time to stop obsessing over little hurts. She looked at me wrong. She sat in my seat. Are we, you know, 8 years old or what? Let's let it go. You will be free that way and you will experience God's peace. So let's see. Offense, taking offense is sort of like this. I'm going to do a little illustration. What happened to you, Sister Sarah? Oh, I'm good. Nothing. I'm totally good. God bless you. God bless you. Is everything okay there with your shoulder? Oh, yeah. I'm good. I'm good. It's like a tumor. Offense is like a tumor, and others can see it, and they can see how it affects you. This is pretty big, right? You guys can all see it, right? And I'm good, but I'm good. God bless you all. I'm good. But somebody comes up and says, well, what about that? Or touches right there. Ooh, ouch, no. And then I get nasty. And then little Pastor Sarah becomes not so nice anymore, right? Because somebody touched the offense. Because if I haven't dealt with it, I can't just pretend that it's not there, because it's going to begin to affect me and affect others. And this is going to affect my sweater because it's going to stretch it out, right? So just a little illustration. We overreact maybe to someone that asks me something, like the woman, the orange lady in the grocery store. Maybe, you know, it was really not about me offering to help her. Maybe she, you know, she had a series of offenses that she hadn't dealt with. And so by me asking just that question to offer to help her, it touched on that tumor, that, you know, that ill place, sick place in her heart that wasn't dealt with. And it can just fester. So these are some excuses that we give for not forgiving and harboring an offense. Maybe we can relate to some of these, but Holy Spirit's going to help us. I can't forgive because it's too big. What they did to me is just too bad. Well, the bigger the offense, the more you need to get rid of it, right? Because just the bigger and bigger. I mean, I could get my big bulky red scarf right there and it's going to be even bigger. If the bigger the offense, the bigger it's going to affect me, right? So that's a good reason to get rid of it. Excuse number two, time will heal it. Oh, not true. It will still be there and it grows even more rotten. What if I said, oh, time will heal this peach, piece of fruit that has a blemish on it. And if I, what happens when you just leave it on your counter for days and days and days? Is it going to heal it? No, it's going to get nasty, right? The whole thing is going to become rotten. And that's what happens to us, to our character. And we lash out and bite somebody when they offer to help us. And it's really not about that because we haven't dealt with it. We think that a time will go by. You know, it might be an offense that you carry for 15 years, right? Number three, I'll forgive when that other person says sorry. Truth is, the offense poisons and disables me. It's more about releasing yourself when you forgive the other person, right? The other person may not even know that you're offended and you're going to take it. It's like drinking poison on yourself, right? Or having all these tumors. I could have them all over myself because, oh, I'm going to wait till they say sorry. No, it's your part. You do it. You do it first. You be free. You stop drinking the poison. Number four, if I forgive the person, they will just do it again. What does that sound like? Fear. That sounds like fear to me. Well, and if that's true, even if that's true, that's a good reason to get rid of the first one, because then they're just going to do it again. And then your whole body is going to be full of tumors, right? So, whew. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Was that it? That was number four. I'm sure we could come up with some other ones, but those are some excuses. I know I'm meddling a little bit, but it's okay. It's so that we grow. Smile. Sweet, right? So the devil's strategy is that he tries to take us out by causing and keeping offense. The defeated one wants you mad at God and mad at others, so you quit. So you walk out that door and leave the church. I'm not going there again. And then you become a church hopper and a, you know, grasshopper, church hopper, all kinds of hoppers. Because we think we're avoiding the problem when really the problem is right here in my heart, right? So stop being a hopper. Deal with the events. Whew. He tries to get us in the flesh and out of the spirit. And what happens when we choose that? When we go along with that plan, we get up and we walk off the altar. We stop being surrendered to God. Ooh, wow. Number two, we justify. This is like plans of what the devil's trying to do to get us into offense. And then we justify our ungodly actions and attitudes when we're offended. No, I'm right. He's wrong. He hurt me. And that's not okay. God looks at our heart and he sees that it's becoming rotten there. Right? So offense blocks faith and paralyzes us. And this is really the point that I want to get to. Let's look at Mark 6, because this is so key for us. Mark 6, coming to the end here, but Mark 6, are you there? Say amen. Okay. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Verse 4, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Ooh, wow. This can teach us something here. There's a connection between taking offense, right? Verse 3, the end of it says, and they took offense at him. They took offense at Jesus. Isn't he the carpenter? Isn't he just one of us? Isn't he just, you know, the brother of, the son of? They took offense at him. And verse 6 says Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. So maybe some of them came in with illnesses, with torment, and it says he could do no mighty miracles there. Because why? Because of their lack of faith. They were offended. Do you see that connection? We become offended and then we stop the flow of God. They didn't receive. Only a few people received healing, right? They chose wrong thoughts and attitudes about them and put up a huge barrier then that blocked them from receiving. Maybe they came in with a big need. And they needed a miracle from the Lord, and they went out without it because they chose to hang on to offense. And it gave them a lack of faith. It's like, here, I'm going to meddle, warning, but I'm going to smile at you while I do it. It's like when we get offended by our disciple maker or somebody that's speaking into our lives, cell group leader maybe, when they're pointing out something that's hurting you, some attitude, something that you're doing, or they're ministering truth to you, but you get offended. So then you're going to block what God wants to pour through to you, blessing, truth, freedom that God wants to pour through to you, because you're saying, nope, I'm offended. Who is she to tell me that? And let me tell you, 7 years living a missionary life and having many disciple makers, many people speak things to me, Sarah, that's not right. And I would go away. Who is she? Be offended until the Holy Spirit would say, she's right. I put her in your life to make you grow up. So are you growing up? You know, that kind of thing. Like, no, you need to listen to her. And it's like, okay. So then I have to go back and apologize then for getting offended. So it's just easier just not to even pick up the offense, really, right? And we receive blessing because the people that God places in our life, and especially if we've given permission to them to speak into our lives, we say we want help, but then when they speak truth, oh no, don't touch that. Don't touch my tumor. I can put this back in. Don't touch it. I'm going to walk with that. You know, I want to keep that. Well, okay. It's like sleeping with the frogs one more night. Okay, then I'm just trying to bless you, you know, and maybe your disciple maker has heard from God about what to speak into your life in order to help you, because they were put there as a covering to help you and walk with you. Right. So let's receive. Let's receive what Jesus, what the Holy Spirit has for us, and not pick up offense. So Okay, land in the plane here. The solution to all this, like when we have an opportunity to take offense, advance, keep going forward. Don't even pick it up. Advance with the love and forgiveness of Jesus. Don't lie down like a doormat and just wallow in your pity party. Oh, but it hurts. And I know. I've been there. But cry out to Jesus. You know what? Because even more than me being there, Jesus has been there. How about dying on the cross for all of us? He's been there, right? They know not what they do. And he forgave us. Anyway. Choose to walk in love. Follow the word. Luke 17:3-4, just one of the last two verses. If your brother sins, rebuke him. This is verse 3 and 4, following the what we talked about before about overcoming evil with good. Is that the run? Yeah. And that offense will come, but it's like if you had a millstone, it'd be better than if you had a millstone and you'd go into the sea. This is the continuation of that. It says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Right? Forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Everybody say, forgive him. Okay. Matthew 18:21-22. This is an account with Peter. I love Peter. I can identify with Peter. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And I'm just remembering, I read this, I studied this, that, oh, what's the detail about, help me remember it, Lord Jesus, that in the Hebrew culture, that it was custom to forgive somebody like 3 times, I think. And so by Peter saying up to 7 times, he thought he was going to put the number a bit higher and be kind of righteous and say, well, so up to 7 times, like that's better than what the law says. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, no, he said, did I read the next part? Sorry. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. 70 times 7. I heard a minister say that somebody in his family got a tattoo 70 times seven to remind themselves that's how many times that they needed to forgive people. 70 times seven. So we can do it. We can do this. We can forgive people. We cannot even pick up offenses because of we can do it from the power of the resurrected Christ that lives inside of us. We can forgive 70 times seven. We can live a life like that, that things just flow right off of us. We don't even pick it up. And we'll be free of these ugly bumps and tumors all over us. You are an overcomer and you can do it. You can be an offense overcomer by the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Everyone's okay? No casualties? We're doing all right? It's good. Meditate on these scriptures because, you know, we need to get this as a lifestyle, not just, you know, one Sunday or one day, but we need to walk a life of love because that's how Jesus walked. And if we say that we represent him, then we need to be practicing that in our lives. We may not do it perfect, but let's endeavor to have him help us, you know, help the Holy Spirit, self-control, you know, we can do it. And he will help us. And sometimes, just like me, you might be surprised that something comes out of your mouth that's not really what your flesh is feeling. And that's a good thing. Life with the Holy Spirit is good and it's fun and he teaches us. So, all right, let me pray for you. Let me pray for the live stream friends out there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging in there with us today. Praise the Lord. Father God, we just come before you, and I thank you for this word today for all of us. I thank you that you are a God that forgives. Your love is so great. You have such long suffering for us. You showed such humility by coming off your throne, by sending Jesus to die for us so that we could live free and we could walk a life of love. So I thank you, Father God, for helping all of us this week to walk, to practice walking in your love like Jesus did, to not even pick up offense. Help us, Holy Spirit. Your power lives inside of us, and we want to exercise that power. We want to exercise that, the fruits, love, joy, peace, patience. Father, give us patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Let us practice walking and activating those fruits this week, because we have all of them. You gave them to us. It's just that we need to practice, and that's our part. I thank you, Father God, for giving the strength, Holy Spirit, and the boldness and the obedience to us. For anyone that has, been thought of a person while I was, sharing this word today, if you thought of a person or a situation that you need to forgive, that you need to let go of an offense, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that to mind. It's because of your love for us that you show us these things that aren't quite right and things that we've hung on to, because you want us free. You want us pure channels to be used in a mighty way in these end days to bless people. And if we have offenses in our heart, we can't do that in a free and a powerful way as much as you would desire. Father, we don't want to have a lack of faith. Help us let go of these hurts, maybe of things of years. Father, we forgive that person. We let them go. We let them go free in Jesus' name. That person owes me nothing. And I owe them nothing. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the strength to do that. And just to build that muscle. Help me, Holy Spirit, build that muscle of just, grit, of just letting things go, letting things flow off, and not even picking up an offense. If somebody says something to me or looks at me the wrong way, let me run to your presence. Let me run to your altar and just put it there, because Jesus, you can identify with being humiliated and being shamed and being ridiculed and being spoken, to in a way that's not nice. You know what that's like. And so I run to your altar and I put that there and I just give it to you, Jesus. I give you my hurts. I want to be free. I want to be free of offense in my heart. I want to be free of tumors growing in my heart. I want to have a character that's pleasing to you, Jesus. And I want to walk in a way that shows your love to people, that they'd be attracted to me. Really, they're being attracted to you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for that. And I thank you for all of the live stream viewers that are listening and watching. I pray wellness and wholeness over them now in Jesus' name. We stamp out any symptoms and sickness in the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare strength rising up in their bodies in Jesus' name. And I declare joy in Jesus' name. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for that joy that lives on the inside of me. I thank you for joy, Lord. I thank you for joy, joy unspeakable and full of your glory. I thank you for joy, Lord. I thank you for joy. Your joy is the source of my strength. Thank you, Father, for joy this week where there has been sadness or sorrow or depression. I bind up depression in Jesus' mighty name. I bind up anxiety in Jesus' mighty name. And I release that song of joy over each one listening at the sound of my voice in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that you said, it was even in there, Philippians 2, for the joy set before you. You saw the joy. Father, we see the joy of one day being united with you in heaven, the promise of eternal life. But we also want to live an abundant life that's rich and full of peace and full of joy in the now. But it says, where is it? Where it says, what was I just saying? Oh, it's Philippians 2 that, thank you, Jesus. Shika basoko babaratata kabasika babaratata. Thank you, Jesus, for the joy. There it is. The joy set before you. Isn't it Philippians 2? Shitata kababarata. I thought it was in the same spot, but wherever it is, for the joy set before you, Jesus, you went on to endure such a death for us because of that joy set before. And so it allowed you to just release grace and mercy and do the wonderful act of sacrifice on the cross for us. So Father, for the joy set before us of being united eternally with you, we let offenses go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for that joy this week. I thank you, Father God. Shika basoko babaratata. I don't know if maybe somebody has a headache or head pain, but I speak against it and I tell it to go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I pray for, I don't know if this is a specific prayer for somebody, but I just pray for godly friends that you would seek out and surround yourself with godly friends. I feel like maybe somebody's been praying that to have, new friends, change their friends, to have godly friends. So I thank you, Father God, for collecting, bringing around the people that are praying this prayer and all of us that we would choose to seek out godly friends and that we would remove ourselves from people that are not uplifting, that are not walking in faith and speaking your word. Thank you, Father God, for giving us wisdom and strength and boldness to do that. So that we can, maybe we need to shut some doors and say goodbye to some people in our lives so that we can make room for the new friends that you're going to bring. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless our live stream viewers in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.